Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Richard Sutton, good morning. What wouldn't you do for love?
Difficult question.
Sorry, that came from left field. Totally unfair.
What have I done in the past for love? that's a bigger question.
Right, and that's probably the one we really do want to know. But either way, we're not going to ask it right now. Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, fantastic. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good. Great to have you back on the show. We wanted to talk about stress because it's become, obviously this is your field and this is, you've written books on this. This is your field has become a field of expertise for you. But to some extent, we're in danger of seeing stress as this evil, evil thing to be avoided because we spend our lives trying to reduce our stress. Talk to us about the positive aspects of stress. Are there positive aspects?
So it's funny you say that because the whole narrative within the framework of stress is very negative. It stresses the enemy. Stress is destructive. Stress is going to corrode your health. Stress is going to end your reality. I mean, stress has been really fundamentally demonized.
Right.
And I think it's kind of half the story, half the picture. In reality, stress is the reason we have survived so many challenges and so many obstacles and so many things in the past that would have traditionally not have been that easy to overcome. And the crazy thing about stress is that when we get stressed, we unite four big physiological systems. We've got the nervous system, the cardiovascular system, the immune system, you've got the hormonal system, all coming together, culminating in superpowers. Our abilities from a cognitive standpoint, physical standpoint, immune standpoint, on every level we are operating at a higher and more efficient and more effective level. Stress is actually this gift, this software that we've been given to overcome adversity, challenge, and change. And to think of it purely in a negative context is destructive for ourselves. Now, there was a great study just looking at that perception. Is stress good? Is stress bad? And how does it relate to your health? And the study involved around 30,000 people over 8 years just based on perception. Everyone had the same stresses. Is it good? Is it bad? How do you perceive it? And what they found was those individuals who saw stresses indifferent, you know, like if I get stressed, I'll get over it. Those individuals had about a 3.5% risk of an HP period of developing a chronic disease or health ailment related to the stress. By contrast, those who saw stress in a negative light, a very destructive light, so stress is the enemy. If I'm stressed too long, my mental health is going to be corrupted. My physical health is going to be compromised. Those individuals had an increased risk or increased susceptibility of chronic disease and health compromise to the extent of 43%.
Wow.
But perception is strong. Yeah. Perception is our reality at the end of the day.
I remember doing an interview with somebody that was running an addiction center, and he said to me one of the biggest dangers of people that are addicted to marijuana is the fact that they've got absolutely, it's almost no stress. So they don't worry about anything. Everything is just absolutely fine. And they almost have an inability to get on with their lives because that aspect of it has been completely removed. That drive, stress as a driver, has been removed from them.
And I think we all know that. Some of us need deadlines. Some of us need urgency. Some of us need pressure in order to excel. And that's a fundamental thing in the resilience framework, is that without stress, we can't grow. And if we can't grow, we don't feel fulfillment and happiness and joy and purpose and meaning in our lives. So stress is often the catalyst for us to achieve our greatest potential. And we forget that. But there's a contingency here. There's condition at the end of the day. We can harness all these powerful elements that stress offers, the mental, emotional, immune, the cognitive, everything that comes with it. We can harness that. But it's contingent that periodically we shut it down, because the difference between good and bad stress at the end of the day is time.
So
if we stress for short periods of time or intervals throughout the day or throughout the week, that is mobilizing, energizing, it's enhancing in many respects. If we are stressed in a protracted context, very much within the framework of a COVID situation, that's when stress becomes very corrosive and very draining. It just, when you're harnessing all these systems simultaneously, it's a tremendous drain on the body, and it can only sustain that kind of energetic flow for shorter periods of time. So there's a contingency here. You shut it down.
Right. So would that be an example of this? Would that be things like working towards a deadline, having an event where you become stressed about it, you go into full gear, but then the deadline passes or the event happens, then you almost need to make sure that you reduce those levels of stress and don't just continue moving on to something else. You've got to actually make an allowance for those stress levels to go up and down. Is that what you're saying? Practically,
very, very much so. So we've got this heightened sense of arousal, and once the task is completed, we generally would, in a natural context, have a period of restoration and regeneration and recalibration. But what's happening today is that the minute we finish one deadline, we're on to the next deadline, we're on to the next deadline, we're on to the next event, we're on to the next. We're just kind of rolling. And I think what we have to do is be deliberate. We have to say, look, the stress axis has all these powers attached and attributed to it, and I've got to kind of harness it, but at the same time look after my well-being in the long term, and that is going to demand that I shut down my stress on a regular and consistent basis, and sometimes on a daily basis. And my recommendation is actually once a day you actually regulate yourself. Now, the thing is about stress is that when it comes to shutting it down, there's three possible scenarios that we have to consider. The first scenario is that intense overwhelm. You're sitting in a meeting and you're just so overwhelmed that you're becoming very hyper-emotional, becoming very reactive. You're not conscious in your thought process. And in those situations, sometimes we have to regulate. We have to regulate right now. And we can achieve this very, very easily. Instantaneously, we can regulate our stress based on manipulating carbon dioxide levels within the brain and body. And that can be achieved by a double inhale, so it's an inhale again, and a long exhale. So it's an inhale, inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth.
Let's do that again. Inhale.
So you inhale, deep inhale. You inhale again, and you exhale slowly through the mouth. And that will adjust instantaneously in real time carbon dioxide levels. And that will regulate you. So if you're overwhelmed and you just need to center yourself in the moment, amazing, amazing tool. But then we get caught into other situations or other scenarios where we are stressed for a protracted period of time and we have to regulate on a more regular basis. And it's not as extreme, but it's more
sustained, chronic, longer term.
Sustained, exactly, sustained. And in that context, what we need to do is we need to activate basically the stress off button, which is the vagus nerve. And this is where the slow breathing comes in, the kind of 6 seconds in, six seconds out, or 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out, slow, deliberate breathing, period of 3 minutes will regulate your stress axis within about 30 seconds or a minute. This is where yoga, this is where meditation, this is where swimming, this is where cold immersion on the face also comes in. This is where all the physical therapies, reflexology, physiotherapy, massage, they're all are vagal stimulators. And I feel that once a day, second half of the day, we should be engaging in one of these activities just to put us back in balance, because the world that we live in is just so chaotic.
Absolutely amazing. We don't have a lot of time, but there's just so much information we're gleaning from this. Are there some people that do better with stress, or is that all just about what you were referring to earlier as perception? So I like to think of myself, or not I like to, I do think of myself as somebody who works well under pressure. Like, I enjoy stress. I get miserable if I don't have any level of stress, because I wonder why I'm in this world and what my purpose is. So therefore I'm happiest when I'm stressed and on some level. But is that just conditioning? Is that just perception?
There's a couple of factors. So it's one, as we grow up and as we learn more about ourselves and our self-awareness and self-control evolves, our ability to cope with stress and challenge improves. And that's just part of life. So as we get more mature, our coping mechanisms are enhanced. There's also an underlying genetic and neurochemical driver in that those individuals who produce a lot of dopamine and a lot of norepinephrine and a lot of epinephrine and have a problem in their metabolism tend to get very overwhelmed from stress. It's almost like their system becomes uncalibrated.
Right.
Those individuals who struggle in this domain, you know, they could have excess metabolism of these neurochemicals where they just don't have high enough circulating levels at any given time. Stress is the gift of all gifts, because that's when they are clear. That's when they're focused.
So interesting.
They actually need stress to function without it. So it's very, very dependent on it. There's a specific enzyme. It's called COMT. It's very specific on your expression of that enzyme. So if you're a higher expressor, then you need the stress. If you're a low expressor, the stress is just so overwhelming and it becomes a struggle in your life. But there's tools and ways to remedy that.
Well, we're definitely going to be taking that up with you, Richard Sutton. Thank you, as always. Incredible amount of knowledge that he is always happy to share with us.